Going outside for a walk has long been a spiritual practice, and for very good reason. As we read in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, that the Word became flesh and started walking around. As another translation says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, reminding us of that beautiful, long tradition within Judaism that reassures us that God goes with us wherever we are. Like the people of God crying out for help in Egypt, and God comes to them, freeing them from slavery and leading them throughout the wilderness. And one of the first things that the people did was build a tent, a tabernacle, a dwelling, so that each night when they made camp, they would set it up and the Spirit of God would descend upon it, reminding them that God was walking with them. Even when they built the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, a stationary building, they never fully lost sight of that tradition, because the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple and took the people to live in exile yet again. And it was there that the synagogue was born, that they could worship wherever they were, that God walks with us throughout our lives. I remember venturing outside and into the woods as a boy because it was the perfect playground. That we'd walk down to the end of our street, and just beyond the cul-de-sac was a large area of woods where we would play in the creek and dig things up out of the ground. And every now and then you'd be walking along and you'd notice on the ground the perfect walking stick. It was like discovering buried treasure. You took it home and was so proud to show it to everyone in the family, despite your mother saying, "Keep that outside." But why a walking stick? Perhaps we all know deep down inside of us that we are walking somewhere. And we have that longing to be able to lean on something or someone along the way. And there were those two disciples that discovered this on Easter. One of them was named Cleopas. The other one, we do not know the name of that disciple. But they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were walking to get away from everything that had taken place, that their hopes had soared high above the clouds, that Jesus was the Messiah, the next King of Israel. But all of those hopes came crashing down on Good Friday. And now they were walking to Emmaus, gripped by fear and doubt, the kind of fear and doubt that weighs us down and clouds our sight. Because this stranger joined them along the way, who was Jesus, but they couldn't recognize him. And this stranger asked, "Why are you so sad?" And they were shocked. Was this stranger the only person who did not know everything that had taken place? But Jesus started to walk them through the stories of Scripture and talking about what they meant. And then they reached that fork in the road, the disciples taking the left turn, going down into the village of Emmaus, thinking that their traveler companion was taking the right turn, that he still had a long journey in front of him. So they invited this stranger to come join them in their house. And there, sitting around the table, they broke bread. And they finally realized that it was Jesus walking with them. And they said, "Were not our hearts burning along the way?" That walking has long been a spiritual practice. As Carolyn de Armand Blevins writes, "Walking helps. Walking is therapy for me. When I walk, I think, I sort. I get in touch with my anger. I relive my pain as a way of coming to terms with it. I process. I do some of my best thinking when I walk. Often something I am dealing with is much clearer when I return from a walk." That were not our hearts burning in us along the way? That like that walking stick, we can lean on the presence of God. There's that story that Buddy Sheridan reminds us of the teacher standing in front of the elementary school classroom, asking them to name as many of the seven wonders of the world as they can, and hands started to shoot up all across the classroom. Children hollering out answers, the teacher writing them on the board. Places like the pyramids in Egypt, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, the Great Wall of China. It is not a bad list. But those are places we cannot visit right now. And then one little girl in the back row raised her hand. She had been relatively quiet, but she had a slightly different perspective. She said, "What about touch, taste, sight, hearing, talking, laughing, and love? And we just might add walking to that list." Remembering that the Word became flesh and started walking around. That when our feet are moving, it frees up our minds, hearts, and souls, making room for the presence of God. As Frederick Buechner says, when we create empty space in our lives, God can fill it. And it reminds us of the beauty of the Quaker tradition, that denomination of the church that has long put an emphasis on quiet reflection. They've even written questions for those types of reflections. Questions like, how can we become more open to God's love and the ways of Jesus happening around us? Or how can we listen for God's calling in this very moment of our lives? Or how can we open our eyes to see the image of God in all people? Or what truth are we evading by closing our eyes to it? Or how can we cherish our friendships or recognize the gifts of our family? Or are we honest and truthful in all that we say and do? And are we looking towards the concerns of others found around the world, that we just might take some of those questions for a walk? Because walking takes us outside, not just of our house, but also of ourselves, where we can lean on the steadfast love of God, who is always walking with us, that we make our way throughout this world and this time in our lives by walking and discovering that our hearts were burning along the way. Amen.